The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to spiritmotorgroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
But now, as the economy plans to reopen over the next few months, there's still a lot of uncertainty around the aviation industry and when frequent travel will resume again. Now, to talk about how the industry is planning to bounce back, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Airport Safety and Security Auditor Kevin Byrne is on the line. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, let's talk about the bad stuff first, and that is there was an air crash in Pakistan, the Lahore to Karachi flight on the 23rd, it had a problem. Do we know yet what the problem was?
No, but there are disturbing information coming out that the aircraft on final approach, an A320 Airbus, a very common aircraft, it had a fairly high time in terms of flight hours, 47,000 hours, but it looks as if friction marks on the runway suggested that there'd been some ground contact. In other words, the aircraft came in to land without the undercarriage deployed, scraped along the runway, both engine cowlings appeared to make contact with the concrete, and it took off again, and then was unable, of course, because the engines were damaged, to continue flying around. The pilot made an attempt, and as we saw, it fell down on a suburb of the city, which was catastrophic.
So that would look like pilot error. I mean, they had a malfunction of the undercarriage, and I don't know what you do then. I suppose you foam up the runway and try to make
If the aircraft did touch on, it would have been better in hindsight to let it run along its engines, because there is a video on YouTube of a 777 doing it in Poland, you know. It scrapes along the runway and it does come to a stop. Taking off with damaged engines is a very fraught experience, as you can imagine. The engines will run for a while, as we've seen in other examples, but they won't last forever and they may not have enough power to get you around to go again.
But
so
it looks...
It will be examined very carefully.
Yeah, it doesn't look as if it points the finger at the aircraft class. It looks like a series of unfortunate events.
Yes, and they have the flight data recorder and the cockpit voice recorder recovered from the wreckage, and they will be analysed fairly quickly. From the cockpit voice recorder, you would find out a picture of what went wrong on the last final approach.
Now, talk to me about the aviation industry and the two big producers that we're familiar with, Boeing and Airbus. What sort of straits are they in?
Pretty poor, unfortunately, because it's been a dead stop. This isn't like anything we've ever come across before. I mean, my own wings have been clipped, and I don't know when I'm going to go flying again, as any of us do, really. Boeing had, I didn't realize this until yesterday, they'd made 700 737 MAXs waiting to be delivered, but nobody really needs them just at the moment. They're going to reduce production line on their 777 and 747. I didn't know the 747 was still being made, but they want to get rid of 10% of the workforce immediately through a combination of voluntary layoffs, turnovers and involuntary ones as necessary. But the cancellations from those people who are buying the aircraft, and they have years of production in advance ordered, this is being now cancelled, of course, because, you know, no one knows the future.
All right, so the aircraft industry itself, the manufacturing process at stalled, if you'll pardon the aviation phrase.
Just in passing, Airbus is not in a great case either, because they've got factories in different parts of the world, but they're looking at taking down the production rates to very small numbers indeed. On the other end, aircraft are being retired quite quickly now, some of the older ones, A340s, 747s, Boeing 757s, 767s. Some Fokkers and Avros will never fly again. And, of course, our big favourite, the A380, the double-decker, some of those have already been put out to pasture, which is extraordinary. They're only a dozen or 13 years old.
Now, you know, Kevin, that we're talking about in the autumn or whenever we get over this pandemic, that the Green Party may be in government and they'll be pushing for a retrofit of houses around the country with insulation and so on, which gives you two bangs for your buck. You know, you get lower consumption of fossil fuels, and you keep people employed doing the retrofit.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, are any of the aircraft manufacturers talking about hauling in some of the fleet and installing, for example, the UV light in the toilets we talked about that would sanitize the toilets, for example, sprays that would spray the aircraft very quickly with antiviral fog between, on the turnaround instead
The answer
and
is
why not?
Cheaper to do it. quite, it's cheaper to do it when you have them on the production line. People have looked at modifications. Even modifying engines of an aircraft is a really expensive business where you plug one out and plug one in, so to speak. They tend not to do it because it's probably cheaper to run what you have at the moment. Now, all these things are going to come in, whether we like it or not. They're going to be innovations in that regard. But in passing, I should mention that the filtration system, the HEPA, the High Efficiency Particulate Absorption systems in aircraft are remarkably efficient. You get the same air, 99.99 and 0.997 in some aircraft types of clear air. That's the same as you're going to get in the operating theatre in a hospital. So you're actually getting air from the top of your head down to your toes. It is remarkably clean and fresh, and it's they put new measures in place to make sure all the aircraft are up at that speed, and they're changing filters quite frequently now. So you're going to get into a very clean environment, particularly okay. as they put together extremely deep cleaning on all the aircraft types they have in service.
Yeah. Do we have any detail of what kind of deep cleaning? I mean, the idea that you clean it once every 24 hours, I don't think that's good enough, quite honestly.
I mentioned before that the low-cost carriers get their return by flying airplanes 10 hours a day or more, and they do that by doing 25-minute turnarounds. That day has sadly gone because you can't do proper cleaning in 25 minutes. You've got to clean all and sanitize all the hard surfaces. You've got to clean the loos properly, and you can't use a vacuum cleaner on the carpets because it puts particles in the air again, you see. So you've got to do a different system. Basically, you've got to clean the aircraft. I think a turnaround of 45 minutes would be far more likely in the future for low-cost carriers. And a long haul is going to take 2 or 2.5 hours to clean a big aircraft. It's as simple as that.
Okay, but the deep cleaning that they'll do overnight is one thing, where they vacuum the plane and all the rest. But the turnaround clean will presumably involve sprays, antiviral sprays.
Yes.
So all the armrests, the trays will have to be put down. You know, that's going to take a few minutes to put every tray down, and then
it's going to take longer than 45. The point about that is it's going to have the aircraft parked at the gate longer. It's going to take, we haven't mentioned the distancing business. I'm going to mention that in a minute for the passengers. You've got to do all that to the aircraft type. Aircraft stays on the ground longer, which means it's less efficient. It doesn't get the 10 hours a day, which means the price goes up for us, the passenger, and that has its own knock-on effect in its own way.
Okay, because people's travel plans are price sensitive. We know that.
Yes.
Just back to the HEPA filters again, Kevin.
Sure.
You know, if you get into the aircraft and you switch on the overhead ventilation that sprays air, be it warm or cold, on your face, is that air coming from the HEPA filter? And if you don't switch that on, where is the air coming from? Could I be breathing someone else's bugs?
Not really, no. It's possible if you're sitting close to them, but I mean, you're going to have... one point I should mention is the EASA conditions for flying, which have been published last week, and they're quite detailed and worth going into for a second. But the HEPA filter will take away the virus type thing we have, which is between 70 and 120 nNMs. Now, Pat, I've forgotten what an nNM is. It's something micron, isn't it? It's a tiny particle anyway, a virus. So the HEPA takes this away 99.9% of the time, so you're not going to get it. The danger I always mention is the passenger in the terminal or queuing with you or perhaps at the check-in desk or whatever it might be, or the baggage drop, and they're trying to eliminate that with the new processes that have been agreed with EASA and will be enforced very quickly.
So those other processes, I mean, we have to get on the aircraft, we have to stand maybe relatively close to people while we're queuing, we'll be checking in ourselves, they'll try to get us to do as much of that as we possibly can, we'll have our boarding card on our phone. Life is going to change. It's going to be slow and tedious.
It's even more fundamental. It's more fundamental than that, which I didn't realize until last night when I read this document. It's passengers only in the terminals with effect from whenever this is agreed. Now, it's an EASA, so it's European-wide and probably more as well. And it's been agreed with the European Centre of Disease Control as well, so it's quite good. You've got to get in passengers only and staff. Nobody else gets into the terminal. It's a bit like an African or a North American or some terminals I know have passengers only. That's going to be very fundamental to people who, you know, meet and greet and hug and all that kind of thing. You can't do it. You can't collect and you can't deliver inside the terminal. That's a new fundamental. They don't want you to bring, for example, hand baggage on board if at all possible. That's going to be very hard to do. You've got to bring your own medical face masks. Now, I mentioned the word medical, which surprised me. A medical face mask, and you're supposed to wear it for 4 hours and then change it after that time if it's a long-haul flight. Where do we get medical face masks? I don't know where to get them without, you know, there's a shortage of supply.
Well, you can order them online and so on, but I suspect it might be a nice little earner for somebody in the terminal.
You're quite right. like the plastic bags we had since 2006, you know, for our gels and paste and stuff. Yeah. You've got to bring your own anyway. The spacing, interesting, is just in I'll throw this into the pot, it's 1.5 metres where possible. You know, everywhere they want 1.5 metres. Not on board the aircraft. They'd like it to be on board the aircraft, but if it can't be done, they want everybody to wear the face mask for the entire duration.
Everyone to wear the face mask. Let's have a listen to Michael O'Leary speaking to News Talk Breakfast this morning, where he said Ireland is emerging much more slowly from COVID-19 pandemic than other European countries. Have a listen.
I think the point is not so much whether we have a quarantine in Ireland or not, but you've got to ask the question, why is Ireland, having performed so well, the government and the people have performed so well in reversing the impact of COVID-19, now locking down further at a time when governments in Italy, in Spain, in Portugal have all announced they're opening up their countries, they're removing all of the travel restrictions, including quarantines, from either the middle of June or the 1st of July. Ryanair is going back flying on the 1st of July. We'll have 1,000 flights daily from Ireland, the UK, to the beaches of Portugal, Spain, Italy, etc., without any quarantine restrictions. And we have to ask, why is it then when these families are coming back, Tony Hoolan or the government wants them to quarantine for 2 weeks, which has no effect whatsoever.
And he's calling for the removal of ineffective quarantine measures. He said that by wearing face masks, Irish people can safely start flying from July. Have a listen.
Won't be that radically different other than there'll be less physical contact. I mean, the critical thing is, will there be everybody wearing face masks in the airport terminals and on board the aircraft, our crews and our passengers? You won't be allowed to queue for the toilets on board. You can still go to the loo, but you'll have to ring the bell and go one by one. But other than that, you know, we are trying to do more web check-in for bags. And at the boarding gate, instead of our check-in team taking your boarding pass and scanning it, we'll be asking you to scan it yourself and you'll be holding up your passports.
But you'd have as many people on the flight, there isn't going to be this empty aisle up the middle of the plane, is there?
No, and again, the science and the medical experts of the ECDC have signed off on that. As long as you're wearing face masks, remember on board an aircraft, we have hospital level filters, HEPA filters that recycle the air refresh the air every 2 or 3 minutes. Everybody's wearing face masks. And there are significant barriers in that, you know, even if you sneeze or cough on board an aircraft, the seat in front of you is the blockage. But with everybody wearing face masks, cabin crew and our passengers, as Professor Luke O'Neill has indicated, it eliminates almost all, not all, but almost all of the risk of communication of viruses generally.
So what do you think, Kevin? I mean, is that the future of flying? There'll be no, obviously, food on board on the short hauls. The food and drink will be a thing of the past.
It's going to be an unpleasant experience. I mean, you know, I did 75,000 kilometres by air the year before last, and the idea that you'd have to wear a mask alone is a little bit off-putting. I don't know how you do it with children, by the way, if they are going to the sunspots out of Dublin or whatever. Also, a couple of airlines have said you'll have to bring your own gloves or they'll give you gloves. The idea of wearing rubber gloves for 4 hours on a flight is just a nonsense, I think. You know, it's very hard to do. There is an element, you can have some sort of canned drinks and you can have some packaged food, so you can take your mask off to eat as such. But as Michael said there, you have to book the loo in advance and that kind of thing. It's going to be a very unpleasant experience, and people don't like that. And if you put the price up as well, there's going to be two incentives sort of not to fly. So they might leave it for a year. But I understand why he wants to get his aircraft back in the air. I also make the point, too, that Dublin Airport, not too far from where we are now, you know, it's a huge engine for Ireland. It brings in 8 billion euros per year from that point of view, and we are an island nation. If you said we should all take the boat, you couldn't physically carry 30 odd million people back and forth. We need tourism really badly at the moment.
It's funny, a texter says this crisis could be the rebirth of long haul rail and sail travel, all aboard the ferry to France and the train from there to the Costa del Sol. It's a long journey by train, I can tell you that.
It is.
Sounds like we'll need a travel hood when using planes for travel. Why can't Cork and Shannon be used more? Do we all want to be squashed into Dublin Airport, queuing for hours with people breathing all over us? The motorway runs in both directions, says Paul in Nace. Surely if they cut out all in-flight food and drink service when airborne, that would cut out a lot of potential contamination and cut down on cleaning time. That's from Tony. Well, that's true. If you're not dropping crumbs all over the place and spilling drinks.
They have that on board. It's going to be little packages, stick it to your mouth, you drink from a can with a straw or whatever, and that's it. You know, the minimal contact between crews and passengers and passengers to passengers will take it, you know, to the lowest possible contaminant level.
Mm. Okay, your best guess, Kevin, when will we be back recreationally flying?
I honestly can't tell. It's been a terrible... People ask me this constantly. You know, my flights to Marseille in 2 months' time had just been cancelled by Ryanair, and they promised me the money back in 2 or 3 months' time or whatever, which is a big disappointment. But they're rescheduling very slowly at the start because, for example, this week in America, the passenger numbers have gone from 10 on average to 29. So it's a slow process in a place that's opened up ahead of us in some ways. In European Union terms, I don't know. It also depends on the quarantine rules and regulations. Spain, Greece, Italy have opened up. I reckon by August, September, I think this summer is a little bit of a write-off. Things will get better because we really need the income that comes from aviation. Aviation is a huge generator in the Republic of Ireland and in Europe generally, and we really need to be flying back because we have to face and live with this virus.
Kevin Byrne, retired Lieutenant Colonel and Security Auditor and expert on airport safety. Thank you very much for joining us.